This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Dental Download Podcast is your source for insight into dental school, conversations with dentists, specialists, and leaders in the industry. With new episodes every Monday morning, I'm your host, Haley Schultz. Let's get into this week's episode.
The biggest hurdle when applying to dental school is definitely scoring well on your DAT. When I applied to dental school, I used DAT Bootcamp to study and prepare myself with their practice questions. Since then, the online program is continually improving by updating with the latest changes based on the current exam and always adding new practice questions. DAT Bootcamp is definitely your one-stop shop to be completely prepared for your DAT. I felt totally ready to go walking in on test day. Of course, I was a little nervous, but my practice scores on boot camp were very reflective of my real scores on the exam, and I walked out of there proud of my scores, and they helped me get accepted to 5 dental schools. So you know I'd have to get you a discount on my favorite test prep, so thank you to DAT Bootcamp for sponsoring today's episode. You can go to bootcamp.com/DAT and use my code HaleyDental10 for 10% off your bootcamp subscription. Hi, everyone. We have another guest here today. And would you be able to just introduce yourself, tell us kind of where you're practicing now and a little bit about yourself?
Thanks, Haley, for having me on the podcast. My name is Dr. Ellie Halabian. I am a general dentist in New York City. I graduated from NYU in 2021 and then went on to do a residency up in Westchester, which is upstate New York, an hour away from Manhattan. I was at a level 1 trauma center. And since then, I've been trying to figure out my place of work in the city. I'm currently jumping around between different offices, but I initially started at an FQHC, which is a federally qualified healthcare center. And I was there for a year. And from there, I went on, like I said, to now work in different practices across the city. I work up Upper West Side, Upper East Side, out in Brooklyn. And it's been a really interesting experience because each office has its unique patient population. They have their own aesthetic. They have their own materials. And so it's been really interesting to see how different offices work and communicate and collaborate, and also the different resources that they use. And so that's where I'm currently at now.
And did you grow up in New York State as well?
I am a true New Yorker, born and bred. It's a very rare breed. But yeah, I'm from New York, and I've lived in New York most of my life. I did go to school in Canada. I did my high school and undergrad there. And then afterwards, I came back, and I'm still here.
Awesome. So you kind of knew you'd be doing a residency so you could practice in New York, but do you think if you were going to be moving out of state, you still would have done a residency, or do you recommend it to new grads?
That's a really great question. At the time of the whole match process, I actually applied for pedo and I didn't get in. And then I was panicking, like, what do I do next? What do I do next? So I post-matched for GPRs, and even that was very competitive. And I was doing these post-match interviews, and I wasn't getting these offers in like California, in Virginia, and Florida. And I was like, oh gosh, I'm going to be stranded. And at that point, I was like, well, the only other option is to work. And at the time, because everyone was matching, I thought not matching was a fault. And I like looked at it as shameful, or not being successful, or not being competent enough. And in hindsight, it was just ego. Like, either way, it's once you leave school, it's a different playing field. You're in residency, or you're at work and you're under pressure. People have expectations of you. You're more independent and you're autonomous. Like, there's a lot of different factors that are involved that are a different setting to what it is at school. And so I now think that regardless of whether you do 1 year of residency or 1 year of work, they're both equivalent to 1 year of work experience. So I wouldn't put so much pressure on yourself thinking that like, oh, you need to match, or oh, you need to go get into a GPR. It's great if you do, like kudos if you do. But at the same time, like you're going to get the same experience working because you're going to be under the same amount of pressure. And in fact, people are going to be paying more money for that same procedure. So they're expecting a little bit more. So your work ethic and your level of care has to be up to par.
That's a really good perspective to have about it. And when you were also introducing yourself, you talked a little bit about how you're trying out different practices to kind of figure out what's the right fit and what you want to do. For people that are looking ahead into graduating, we all kind of want to just get our bearings at first and get comfortable with working and finally being out of school. But how are you working through figuring out like the style of dentistry that you want to do and what scope of practice you want to have?
So that's been really interesting, and I'm still navigating that. I think when I first got out of school and went into residency, I was there was a couple of adjustments that were happening. And once I graduated residency, I felt like I was on a high, like, oh, I completed a residency year. And so now I'm confident, right? I'll go into the working world competent. And then I started working. And I'm like, wow, I'm actually really not that competent. I still have a lot of learning to do. And it's really interesting because dentistry, it changes every day. Like you have a patient, no, two patients are the same. So you're constantly problem solving. And at first I thought like, okay, I need to really develop like a good foundation of dentistry in all disciplines. So I really need to get good at crown preps. I really need to go get good at class two fillings. I really need to get good at just root canals. And so I've been doing a little bit of everything just to feel confident in whatever comes my way. And now that I've at this point where I'm almost 2 years out now, I feel like, okay, I reached a level where I want to level up my game and I want to level up the dentistry that I want to do. So now I'm focusing more on what cosmetic courses can I take? What kind of rehab courses can I take that are going to allow me to take on more complex cases?
And how did you know when it was time to move on from that FQHC job and then start checking out these other practices?
So at the FQHC, at first I was doing a lot of learning. I was like learning time management. I was learning how to manage employees. Like I had assistants that were under my leadership. And so knowing how to like go through the books and audit the books for sterilization. So there was a lot of aspects of office management that I was also learning at the same time, like that I was learning the dentistry. But then there came a point where the workflow wasn't smooth and there was not a lot of good communication. And we tried to have these leadership conversations and things weren't moving forward. And there was a lot of resentment building up within the team and a lot of negativity. And at that point, I'm like, okay, well, I'm not learning anymore and I'm not earning anymore. So this is a conversation that I actually had with Dr. Avi. It's like, if you're not learning or earning is what he said, he's like, you got to go. So then I was like, Ellie, you're not moving forward in this place. I dedicated a year. And then I was like, okay, now I need to get out of here and see something else.
Well, good for you for having that self-awareness and recognizing the situation and taking the courage to still jump out and do something different. Because I know that that's hard when you're, even if something's not a great situation, it's still scary to go out and look for something else. What's like the market been like looking for associate positions? Has it been challenging or are you choosing to kind of do part-time at multiple places?
So in New York, it's very common to do part-time in multiple offices, regardless of the level of experience you have. I know people who've been practicing for 10 plus years and they still bounce around. In fact, I have one dentist who's 60 plus years old in one of the offices that I'm in, and he rotates through 5 or 6 offices during the week and he's working 6 days a week. And personally, I don't want to be 60 and still working 6 days a week. I kind of want to, you know, lessen down the amount of work I do. But in New York, it's very common. There's so much out there. It's very concentrated. There's a lot of dentists and they're not looking for a full-time position.
Totally makes sense because there's so many people and so many practices and so many dentists. Yeah. Do you feel like it's more challenging for someone to find a job and work as a dentist in a really saturated area? I feel like that's kind of a hot topic.
You know, I feel like I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, but I do think that finding a job in a saturated market is difficult only because there's so many dentists in New York and there's not a lot of availability since everyone's already working part-time. Like they're clearly not, they don't need you as often as you would think, right? So you're only working maybe 1 day a week here or 2 days a week there. And there's no sense of like security. You're not working in most offices. You're not really working on a contract. There's no sense of like employment security or financial security. So it's been a little challenging navigating that in New York. I feel like once you leave a metropolitan city, you can find jobs that are more consistent or more stable, where you would be like a full-time dentist at one practice and like a familiar face for those patients. I think about it all the time, whether like it's good for me to leave New York and find that kind of stability, but am I ready to leave New York just yet?
I totally get that. And that's, I think what a lot of people come back to is the balance of like, what do they want? And then what maybe makes like the most financial sense, but you got to find a balance. And as long as you're happy and you can get by, like that's more so what really matters, I think.
Then you have to take into consideration, like, what is worth it? Like, where do you want to live? What is the cost of living? How much are you actually making? Like, there needs to be a checks and balance. So you have to give it a little bit of thought.
I definitely see what you're saying there. And I want to go back in time a little bit to when you were in dental school to talk a little bit about advice that you have for people. So looking back on dental school, is there anything that stands out as like a really great experience that you dove into, or anything that you're really happy that you did during dental school?
So two things come to mind. One, invest in your friends, okay? Because those people are going to be your network of dentists. Once you graduate, you can ask them for opinions. Some of them are going to become specialists. So they're going to be your network. So invest in your classmates. Number one, don't focus so much on like just studying and competing, because that's not healthy, nor is it going to get you anywhere. Because at the end of the day, the first person in your class and the last person in your class are both going to be called doctors. So it doesn't really matter. The second thing is do extracurriculars. So if your school has electives, for example, like a faculty practice or like an OS clinic where you can do, you know, extra hours in that office, get yourself involved so you can see and expose yourself to more. Not only is exposure important and the reps are important, but you also get mentorship from different faculty members, and their insight are just as important, because each person does dentistry differently and each person treatment plans differently. So it gives you more insight into how to do things, and the more tools you have in your toolbox, the better off you are.
Yeah, I totally see what you're saying. You've got to take advantage of what's in front of you when it comes to dental school. And it can be hard to take yourself out of just so focused on your studies and your clinical experience and your patients, but there's so much more at your fingertips that you can take advantage of, that you're saying it can last you longer.
You don't take things too seriously, okay? That's the most important thing. And just get your hands as dirty as possible. Like, the more you see, the more you do, the better off you are, the more confident and comfortable you will be around patients and the next time you do that procedure in the chair. So it's a really big win if you can let go of that ego and like the need to be a perfectionist or a leader on the scoreboard. Just get your hands dirty.
And you shared with us a little bit at the beginning about not matching for pediatrics and that kind of process. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else when you look back at dental school that was just like a really big hurdle that you're willing to share and kind of how you worked through it?
Really a big hurdle. I guess practicals. I think I was so focused on doing well on practicals that I made myself too nervous. I made myself too scared. And then I would feel so uneasy that I was doubting every little move, because I was thinking of all the negative around that day. Then it was just happening. Like I was just falling into these moments where I was just like, the worst possible thing could happen to me. You know, like we were anticipating bad and then you're manifesting bad. And I remember I struggled with that during some practice with like the 3-5 bridge prep that we were doing and the temps. I kept doing it over and over and over again just because I wanted it to be so perfect. And then I was just like compromising it in some shape, way, or form just because my mindset wasn't there. That was like a bit of a struggle for me at the end of dental school. And I knew it was like near the end and everyone was prepping for boards, and it just got to me. Like it messed with my confidence a little bit.
And was there anything you did to shake yourself up and say, okay, I need to let this be. If I keep touching this, I'm going to make it worse. I need to go into this with the right mindset. Like, did you do anything in that moment? Or is it just looking back, you realize that it was not the best way to go about it?
You know, like looking back, I realized I took it. I went too far. Like I overthought, like we as dentists overthink quite a bit. And I was like overthinking it. I was overdoing it. I was wasting too much time trying to be a perfectionist only to make more of a mess. And so just breathing through it is probably the best way to go about it. Like shaking it off, breathing through it, preparing yourself and saying like, okay, like just do the requirement and walk away. But it's easier said than done. Like, I think when you're in it, you're so hyper-focused and you're like, you have these blindfolds on, right? These blinders on that you just can't see past it. But that's something you have to work through, and it's a constant effort. Even now, like when I do work now, like I'm always looking, okay, crown prep, could this be nicer? Could this be smoother? Could this have a nicer chamfer? And so these thoughts still come up. And as a dentist, because you pay attention to detail, they'll always come up. But it's a matter of like learning when to let go and realizing like, okay, you can also learn from your mistakes. You don't need to, if you're always perfect, you're not going to learn, right? So that's another tidbit I've learned throughout the years.
And once you got out and started working, or even the GPR, what is something that you were like graduating and you thought life as a dentist was going to be like, and then it was not what you were expecting it to be?
So coming out of GPR and working in New York City, I thought, okay, like I'm going to have the financial security of a dentist. And unfortunately, it's not the case, because like I told you, you have to hop around between offices and there's no real guarantee. Payment in New York can be on a daily guarantee or on collection, not so much on production. So it's not to your advantage, really. And so that's been a really interesting factor. Plus, like the cost of living in New York is very high. So trying to be a successful dentist, be a productive dentist, and to pay off a living in New York City has been quite a challenge. I mean, I'm staying afloat and I'm doing okay. But like, if you want to build wealth, and this goes back to our conversation earlier, like finding a place where you think you'll have a quality of life, or that like building wealth in New York is not as easy as it seems. Plus you've got student loans and whatnot. I think the financial aspect of dentistry, or like the financial compensation, has been a little bit challenging.
We're talking about, you know, you living in New York and you really love it there, but I feel like sometimes it's hard to enjoy where we live and everything, because you can just be really consumed with patient situations and maybe just carrying work home with you. So can you talk a little bit about your work-life balance?
So when I get home, I completely disconnect. I don't like think about work at all. And I do that by going to the gym. I try not to like dwell on the day, because I know I put my best foot forward and I did the best that I could do. And honestly, that's all we can do as dentists. We can't hyper focus on the little things, because then you'll always be worried. And that's not a healthy habit. To be honest, I start my day making time for myself. So I'll wake up and go to the gym before work. And that's me time. And that's my downtime. And I'll listen to a podcast that gets me to learn something new or reflect on something that I'm going through. If I'm emotionally stressed and I'm really anxious, I'll journal. That allows me to process the emotion and understand why I feel that way. And it gives me time to breathe through it. And if I'm not like doing that, on the weekends, I'm going for massages. Like, I know my back and my shoulders hurt after like a couple of days of working. Like I feel it midway through the week and I'm like, okay, Sunday comes around, I got to get that massage. Because if I don't, like I won't feel good. I won't feel like at ease. I'm just like constantly working and I'm like hunched over like this. My shoulders are like to my ears and I'm just in pain. And like that feeling, that agony is not comfortable when you're treating a patient, nor do you like feel like you're doing good work either, because you're constantly stressed and you're like, you just want to get it done because you're just in so much pain. You understand what I'm trying to say? Like the quality of work also might not be as great just because you're in such a rush to be done. So making time for myself through working out, massages, journaling, and then making sure that I eat properly, like to have a good meal, have breakfast, go to work with a full stomach, not going to work with an empty stomach, because you need fuel to be able to focus. Another thing that I do is I make time to see friends and family. It's like you have to make time for moments, like make and create memories, right? Because you're also living your life. Like the intention is to work to live, not live to work, right? So you have to make an effort to be a little bit well-rounded. And I know it's hard because work is, you spend most of your days at work, but you also need to take time for yourself, whether that's working out, whether that's eating right, whether that's sleeping enough, or, you know, hanging out with friends. Life is too precious not to do those things. So I try my best to do it. I'm not always going to be 100% at each one of those things, but I make an effort.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And the way that I found you was through your podcast. So could you talk a little bit about your podcast, why you started it, and what kind of stuff you talk about on there?
So my podcast is called Teeth Matter, and it's basically where we can have real conversations between dentists about the realities of the dental career so that we can help each other navigate our path. And it started because I was, like you, confused, frustrated. I didn't know what my next step was. And I kind of saw people on Instagram completing these like full arch restorations and these smile transformations. Like, how did you get there? Like you're not that far ahead of me. How can I get myself there? What courses do I need to take? So essentially it started off as like a Q&A for me to kind of like ask those questions from people who are a little bit more advanced in their career. And then from there it became like a networking opportunity. And since then I've met some beautiful people like yourself who want to learn more and want to exchange thoughts. And it's been a platform that's growing and it's been well received. And I'm very happy about that. And yeah, so that's what I do on Teeth Matter. And we produce weekly episodes and you can hear it on Spotify.
Yeah, I really like what you're doing with the show and even just like your Instagram page and how you have like the reels promoting everything. Everyone likes a little snippet to see like what was the conversation about. And I'm trying to do more of that on my show. So you've been inspiring me with that a bit.
I'm happy to be a source of inspiration. I think people really, I mean, like we're always scrolling through our phones, right? Mm-hmm. Anything that's like short, quick, easy to consume and digest is what everyone's looking for. So I try to get like the key learnings from each episode or like the most like provocative piece to those reels. And so people are enjoying it. I'm glad you enjoy it.
I've been doing this since 2020. So we've been going for a while.
Yeah, no, good for you. I mean, 2020, that's a long time. Like that's commitment and dedication. So you have an amazing work ethic.
Thank you. I hope to see that yours continues for a long time too, because I've been enjoying it since finding it more recently through Dr. Avi that you were mentioning earlier. So is there anything else, if you had a room of dental students staring you in the face, like what would you want to tell them as like some final thoughts?
I think we've touched on it before is one, don't take things too seriously. Two, invest in your friends. Three, everything is temporary. So that moment of fear, that moment of anxiety, that moment of frustration or that bad work or whatever it is that isn't pleasing you in dental school or isn't pleasing you in the clinic, that will pass. Right. And then something else will come up. So you have highs and lows, and these highs and lows are temporary. So just like try to enjoy the ride and find gratitude in those moments, because there's always something to be grateful for. I think that's the biggest takeaway from everything that I've gone through so far.
I appreciate that. And thank you so much for kind of walking us through your journey in dentistry so far and being open and honest about past experiences and kind of where you're at now. Hopefully people will continue to follow that through your podcast and everything.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure.